At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This is our happy hour, brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Now, a little over a month from now, we're going to be back there for our first live show of the year. It is Friday, June 20th, and I want to see you there. I want to have a huge showing for our first live show of the year. And it'll be a beautiful Friday in June. Great time to be down in Cape May. We'll have a blast. So mark your calendar now and make your summer plans by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. All right, and do it today. So, a couple things. There is a there's a 90-day trade pause, tariff pause with China. And Kevin Hassett, who is the head of the National Economic Council today, announced that as part of the big, beautiful bill, we're going to see some real regulation cuts, regulations going away to make life better for everybody, something that we can all get behind. That's good news, too. And that just came out a short time ago today. In Newark, New Jersey right now, there are people blocking ambulances with these crazy protests outside of ICE facilities. But a couple things. Number one, India and Pakistan. We need to have a trade deal with India. I think the only thing that's delayed it at this point is the fact that India and Pakistan decided to have a little skirmish. The president got involved here. He wants to achieve peace with Ukraine and Russia. This is something that he views as his legacy. He wants it to happen. And he also does not want to see any other conflicts break out. Trump is trying to realign the world order. Something I said today to my friend Dana Perino, her podcast is out now, Perino on Politics, with me as her guest this week. Please download it. Listen to it, subscribe to it, like it, wherever you get your podcast. So here's the president talking about India and Pakistan, cut number one.
On Saturday, my administration helped broker a full and immediate ceasefire, I think a permanent one, between India and Pakistan, ending a dangerous conflict of two nations with lots of nuclear weapons. And they were going at it hot and heavy, and it was seemingly not going to stop. And I'm very proud to let you know that the leadership of India and Pakistan was unwavering, powerful, but unwavering in both cases. And having these, they really were, from the standpoint of having the strength and the wisdom and fortitude to fully know and to understand the gravity of the situation. And we helped a lot. And we helped also with trade. I said, come on, we're going to do a lot of trade with you guys. Let's stop it. If you stop it, we're doing trade. If you don't stop it, we're not going to do any trade. People have never really used trade the way I used it, that I can tell you. And all of a sudden they said, I think we're going to stop. And they have. And they did it for a lot of reasons. But Trade is a big one. We're going to do a lot of trade with Pakistan. We're going to do a lot of trade with India. We're negotiating with India right now. We're going to be soon negotiating with Pakistan. And we stopped the nuclear conflict. I think it could have been a bad nuclear war. Millions of people could have been killed. So I'm very proud of that. I also want to thank Vice President Vance and Secretary of State Rubio for their work and efforts. They worked very hard on that.
Good. Money talks, BS walks, as the old saying goes. What Trump is very, very good at, among other things, is using economic leverage with these people. Because, let's face it, whether it's China, it's India, it's Pakistan, they all want to make money. Their leaders want to make money. They want to keep the people happy by the countries making money. That's the bottom line. Wars are often started for economic reasons. Not always, but many times they are. Conflicts are often economic, not always, but sometimes they are. And many people, myself included, believe that unless you're dealing with fanatics who are fighting over something like religious domination or something like that, you know, you're dealing with nutbags who think they're bringing about, you know, the end of the world, you can break through to these countries by using economics. And unless they're insane people who believe that they have to bring about, you know, the end of times like Al-Qaeda believes, for example, or some of the very fundamentalist Muslim nations like Iran believes, for example, or you're dealing with somebody like Xi Jinping who thinks that he's a living deity, or you're dealing with somebody who believes that conflict is inherently good for their purposes. Most normal people want to see peace for the purposes of making money. However, there are people that profit off of war, as we know, and there's complexes built around that and designed around that. But this president doesn't want to entertain that. He wants to, instead of making people that make missiles and bombs super rich by them having to use it and buy more, they could become rich. But the countries don't have to fight each other in the meantime. It's good. Helps everybody. The country that I'm most worried about, I think we're all most worried about, is China, obviously. India would be a great way to get China to the table because India doesn't like China. China doesn't like India. If we start partnering with India and we see American companies are moving their manufacturing there versus China, since if they can't bring them to the United States, which ultimately, of course, would be the ultimate goal, that puts pressure on China to grow up and come to the big kids' table, and that would be good, too. So here's the president talking about China and what's going on, a total reset, 90-day pause here with China, cut number four.
In addition, yesterday we achieved a total reset with China after productive talks in Geneva. Both sides now agreed to reduce the tariffs imposed after April 2nd to 10% for 90 days as negotiators continue in the larger structural issues. And I want to tell you that a couple of things. First of all, that doesn't include the tariffs that are already on, that are our tariffs. And it doesn't include tariffs on cars, steel, aluminum, things such as that, or tariffs that may be imposed on pharmaceuticals, because we want to bring the pharmaceutical businesses back to the United States. And they're already starting to come back now based on tariffs.
Okay. All right. Very good. So let's think about this for a moment now. 90-day pause. It's good for Americans, American businesses who have been manufacturing things in China, because the reality is you can't just flip a switch and start manufacturing in America. It's not that easy. Or in other countries, too. It takes time to ramp up. It takes time to deal with that. But the message is clear. You need to figure out another way. You got to figure out another way besides China to make your products. Okay. The second part of this is that for a lot of these countries around the world, they are doing business with China right now. China doesn't want to lose that. So now you get 90 days, figure things out, lower barriers, lower points of entry, lower unfair trade practices, particularly addressing once and for all the intellectual property theft that China does. You got 90 days to do it. It may be extended after that. But I think what's obvious here is that China wants to be at the table because they said yes very quickly. This is what people refer to when they say the art of a deal with Trump. It's just very simply put, I'm going to come out with this over the top 144% tariffs on you, and then they have to come to the table. They have no choice. And something that was said by the Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, about China when Joe Biden was president, how China was just not afraid of them and China just did whatever China wanted. And this is what he said this morning. This is cut number 16. Chinese just ignored trade commitments they had with the United States when Joe Biden was president. Take a listen.
What has to happen is it has to be fair for the American people. But in January 2020, President Trump produced a template. We had an excellent trade agreement with China, and the Biden administration chose not to enforce it. The Chinese delegation basically told us that once President Biden came into office, they just ignored their obligations. So, we all already have a large framework. The other thing to remember here, Jonathan, is that this is a pause down to 10%. The April 2nd level for China is 34%. So we will be working to see where their final reciprocal number ends up. And the negotiations are a combination of tariffs, non-tariff trade barriers, currency manipulation, and subsidies of labor and capital.
Isn't that amazing that they didn't follow through with Joe Biden? Like so many of these other countries around the world, they were never afraid of the guy. The way you deal with crazy people, keep them in their lane, is you have to make them afraid of you and think that you're unpredictable. Otherwise, they won't behave. It's just the bottom line. They just won't behave. So that's what I'm talking about right now. And this is good. Now, he also explained to Joe Scarborough what's going on with trade between the U.S. and China, particularly around this. Cut 17.
Well, Joe, this is going to go where the president wants it to go. I was in touch with him over the weekend, and he wants free trade, free and fair trade. We've had free trade, and as you said, that has not worked for the American people. There's something called the China shock, which has gutted our manufacturing sector. And China has a different form of government for us. They have a different economic model where they subsidize labor, they subsidize capital goods, and they have exported that to us and the rest of the world. We have put up tariffs to push back on that, so it will be a matter of what is the equilibrium level on tariffs and also getting China to open their markets for American companies, because China actually has a low tariff regime, but it is the non-tariff trade barriers that can be the most difficult to overcome. So we will be focusing on the non-tariff trade barriers and the subsidies, and the idea that China can become more open to American business and the things that are sold into the U.S. can not have the same level of subsidy. And no one wants to do a generalized decoupling, but we are going to do a strategic decoupling, because we realized during COVID that efficient supply chains were not secure supply chains. So with steel, with semiconductors, with medicines, with a couple of other strategic categories, we are going to have to become self-reliant again.
I don't think people put enough emphasis on the non-tariff barriers to trade. I really don't. I don't think it was a conversation before all this. Because, I mean, I'm not a big fan of tariffs, but I understand what the president is trying to do here. And I've been saying that since the beginning of this, which is he's trying to get these countries to drop their non-tariff barriers to the United States. That's why before all this happened, I just don't think it was a conversation. I don't think people thought about shrimp and how the shrimpers, the shrimp people, can't compete with other countries or cattle ranchers. I don't think those conversations were had until now. And now they're being had, which is good. And, I'm not a guy that exports. I'm an exporter, importer. I'm not a guy that does that for a living, but you've heard a lot of people who do. since this conversation started saying, well, we here in the United States, we make widgets. We can't sell those widgets in these certain markets, or China steals our widgets and they sell them to other people at cheaper rates. And that's not okay. Those conversations were really not being had until all this happened. I'm glad Bessent's there. He's a smart guy and he doesn't have this. Like, Navarro is all in on tariffs because he just firmly believes it in his core as the answer to the world and the answer to everything. And I think Bessent, this is not an ideological mission for him. This is a guy who wants to see, ultimately, more free and fair trade as a result of this. And I hope that that happens. I really do. I'm optimistic it will, because I think these countries have to compete in the United States. They need to be competing in the United States. It has to happen. So let me just bring your attention to the story. It's kind of, I just need to warn you, though, it's a little bit, it's kind of weird. I don't know. South Jersey assembly candidate selling photos of her feet as online adult content. This is from NJ Globe, NewJerseyGlobe.com. David Wildstein reporting this. Rebecca Holloway legally making money marketing to adults with foot fetishes. Now, I used to be in the same business as this before I had my foot surgery. Obviously, now my foot is not nearly as attractive as what it once was. My foot modeling days are over, clearly, ever since the staph infection and then the subsequent foot surgeries. But this woman, her foot fetish days are clearly in just right now the glory days of this. She is a former Clementon school board member challenging the incumbent Lou Greenwald and Melinda Kane, also Democrats, in the 6th legislative district. She is a Democrat candidate selling pictures of her feet on an online adult content website that caters to people with foot fetishes, promising to hear your naughty fantasies and help make them come true. The spelling of the word is the way you'd imagine it, by the way. Holloway, who lists her occupation as a self-employed marketing consultant on a campaign website, has some discrepancies on her financial disclosure filed with the New Jersey Election Law Enforcement Commission. Her filing does not list feetfinder.com as a source of income. In case you're wondering, that is the website, feetfinder.com. All right? She charges $5 for a monthly subscription for photos of her feet. Some of the descriptions of the photos are sexually explicit, as is one video provided to the New Jersey Globe. She says that she takes special requests for particular poses of her feet. There's nothing unlawful about it. However, in my opinion, it's freaking disgusting. But, you know, she said, quote, "After being a good girl for so long, I'm in my slutty era." The Democrat candidate says on her Feet Finder page, "Flirting is my superpower. DM me for socks and panty purchases." Now, DM means direct message me. She's a longtime critic of the Camden County Democrat organization. She ran for county clerk in the June primary, but lost to Assemblywoman Pamela Lampitt of Cherry Hill. She also lost a Democratic primary for county commissioner. She did not immediately respond to a phone message and email. Now, I want to click on footfinder.com, and I wish I didn't. Okay. She was last on there 8 hours ago. You know what? I'm using Jimmy Fallon's computer. So this is a Fox News computer. So I may just leave this up. So when he gets in tomorrow, this will be on his screen. I may just do that, actually. I'm gonna close out everything but this. And when he says to me, "Why is it that I came to work and I opened up and there was feetfinder.com profile of church_girl, I'll say, "Because I was talking about a very important local political issue relevant to the people of WPHD. Wow. I really wish I didn't click on this right now. I'm just saying. I really am regretting this right now. But don't do this. Don't do this. So, you can sign in or sign up. I don't know. Is there a market for my badly scarred foot?
Yuck. I hope not. But
it looks like something out of a freaking Frankenstein monster movie. I don't know. I mean, everybody's got a fetish. Everybody's got something that makes them tick. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Justin, have you gone to feetfinder.com?
The idea of feet disgusts me, so
me
no.
too. Yeah, I'm not a foot guy. Particularly men's feet I find to be repulsive, and I believe all men's feet should just be chopped off by law. But this this whole like foot fetish thing, I've just never understood this. I don't get it. I just don't get it. It's a freaking foot. Like, no, I've never seen a foot that I've ever thought to myself, like, my God, you know what I mean? I need to pay money to see a picture of that. It just never occurred to me in my life. And she's running for the assembly, feetfinder.com. I feel like they should be paying me for this. Let's make your fantasies come true. I love custom requests, and I'm up for just about anything. Open-minded, so share your kinks. I'll try anything twice. I do, and she's got an eggplant ratings and can write you a personal message on my body. Flirting is my superpower. Subscribe and get a message just for you. I may, plus a hot gift, DM me for socks and panty purchases. So there you go. She might be the next assemblywoman for the 6th Legislative District in New Jersey. The primary's in June. You never know. So you never know. Just saying. Wow. Really wish I hadn't clicked on that. Really feel bad about myself right now. And I'm 100% leaving this open on Jimmy's computer. 100%. Now, he just invited me back on his show for June 7th. I feel like when he comes in tomorrow and sees this, probably going to get bumped from that show, too. That'll be good. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. You know what I mean? Like, there's some things that are worth it in life. This is worth it. Just to look on his face tomorrow. So... anyway, there's other theories as to who the fat friend of Trump's is with the fat shot. Who's the other leading contender right now, Matt DeSantis?
So I have actually pivoted away from Elon Musk, and I now think this theory is correct, or at least is the front runner.
Okay.
And it's John Katsimatidis.
Now, John Katsimatidis is a man who made his billions of dollars in the grocery business. He's now the owner of a very famous radio station in New York City, WABC, which is on 770 AM here in New York City. He owns that station independently. He bought it, I think, for like $12 million or something, which is a steal, really, for a radio station like that. And he also hosts a show on that station. And he has his Sunday morning, John Katsimatidis. He ran for mayor of New York City years ago. And he is a large man. So you think it's him. That's the other leading theory?
I think that's the new front runner. Yeah, that's the one that's going around X right now. Originally, everyone seemed to go with the Elon Musk theory. I think that was low-hanging fruit now in hindsight. I think it might be Katsimatidis.
Yeah. Well, there goes my shot at becoming a host on WABC in New York, so there goes that. He does take out full page. He takes out full page ads in the New York Post listing his weekend shows on 770 AM. And he recently took out a full page ad telling call your congressman or woman and tell them to make sure that AM radios stay in cars. So there you go. He's a man who believes in the business. What can I say? But if it is him, it's not working. Because I saw him recently, and there goes that station. Well.
Well, just to be clear, we think he looks great and probably doesn't even need it.
I was just going to say, it can't be him. He's so handsome. There's no way it's him. Beautiful looking man. I'd love to see his feet. I hope he's on feetfinder.com. So
the body of an Adonis. Yeah, just wonderful.
But she's actually, the truth is that this story is kind of fun because she's violating New Jersey election law by not listing her income that she makes on this foot fetish website. You're supposed to list all your income. You can't hide that. You know what I mean? But she clearly wants to hide because it's freaking gross. But... Jersey Democrats for you. What can I tell you? I don't know. I don't know what to say. So, all right. Can I play this before we go to break? You've had this story on my show sheet now for like a week and a half. This pet raccoon. What is this now?
Finally. It took you long enough. It really has been there for a week. This was the last day I was going to give up. So this is a delightful little video clip. It was a traffic stop where I guess the police officer discovers there's meth in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. He also discovers a pet raccoon named Chewy who might be a little bit into smoking meth as well. But enjoy it. We have the video. You can listen to it. Follow along on YouTube. Justin, cut 28, if you'd be so kind as to hit that.
Hello?
The raccoon has her meth pipe.
As what?
Oh, my God.
Her meth pipe. He's playing with the meth pipe right now. No, don't reach for it. That's evidence now.
Oh, I don't want him to have
that. Well, that's why I'm going to do it.
Hey, buddy.
Huh?
It's okay.
Okay, you're on. He'll be here in 2 minutes. I'm right across from my house.
Is that what that is?
A few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what she's smoking meth in.
Okay.
The raccoon's right. Playing with her meth pipe.
All right.
Oh, there's no way. He's trying to smoke it.
All right.
I don't blame him.
There's no way. All right. All right. Enough fun and games.
Again?
Holy hell.
Huh?
Oh.
Yeah, he's on his way here.
Keep an eye. She was trying to take the meth pipe out of the car. Just keep an eye on her real quick.
That was the Springfield Township Police Department. That officer you heard there, Officer Branham of the police department in Springfield, Ohio, who was just... I mean, credit to that cop. Hey, number one, because some cops would have been like, I'm not going near that freaking raccoon. Let him smoke meth. I don't want to get scratched or bit or something. But Chewy was very good. Probably because he was stoned. But very chill. Very chill raccoon.
And we should point out, Chewy was not injured during the incident.
No raccoons were harmed during the making of this meth video here. However, Victoria Vidal was charged with F3 possession of drugs, 3 counts of possession and drug paraphernalia, and was cited for driving under suspension. No charge for cruelty to animals, because how can you argue it's cruel to give a raccoon meth? I mean, that's just nice. You know what I mean? You're just being a nice owner right there. So, actually, do we know if it's even her raccoon?
Yeah, it's her pet raccoon.
Yeah. Well, I just hope Chewy is okay. You know what I mean? Because now Chewy's got to go to rehab, and Chewy's got to tell his tale, and Chewy's got to talk about what it was like to be I'm the meth raccoon. You know what I mean? He's going to be labeled with that the rest of his life. It's not easy. It's not easy. So Chewy broke bad. So there you go. All right. As we continue along here, let's dive a little bit further into the China trade deal, what it means. We'll talk to our buddy, Dr. E.J. Antoni, about this straight ahead. Of course, he's our friend and our official show economist. So we'll do that straight ahead. Don't go away. Sure, if you want Emmons Roofing real quick, you can do it. I'll do it right now. EmmonsRoofing.com. Just go to see them today and get a 10% discount when you go to Emmons Roofing and Siding. They do great work for your home. We're talking about if you need a new roof, and first of all, they'll never tell you you do if you don't, but if you do, you'll have a lifetime warranty on that roof with the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. 10% off Anderson windows, 10% off doors. And you know what else, too? Matt and Stephanie, great friends of mine. They're going to take care of your home and make sure your home looks beautiful. The job is done right. It's done on time, done on budget. All you got to do is call them today. They serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Evans even has a bathroom remodeling division, and they'll remodel your bathroom. They did the bathroom in our old house, and my wife loved it. And you know, they're saying happy wife, happy life. So don't wait. Your home will not only look more beautiful from the curb, it will be stronger, able to withstand the elements, and the elements happen all year round. So now is the perfect time to reach out to Emmons. Think about what your home could benefit from siding, Anderson windows, doors, or a new roof with a lifetime warranty and the Owens Corning shingle. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
A lot going on today. Busy, busy day. The president announcing a tariff pause with China. What does that mean? What are the implications of that? Here to talk about it with us is somebody just texted me too. They goes, you have your own economist? Yes, I do. We got a guy. He's Dr. EJ Antoni, the one and only. Follow him on X at Real EJ Antoni. Accept no substitutes from the Heritage Foundation. What's up, my man? First of all, by the way, we got a Pope, Villanova. And, you know, as the weekend went on, we learned he's a registered Republican, the Pope. Did you know that?
I saw that, Rich. Have we confirmed that? I saw a bunch of different social media posts, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody told me, as far as I know, I said, good, I'll go with that. I don't know if it's true or not, but I like it. If it is true, it may not be.
Look, I just want orthodoxy at the end of the day, right? You know, I don't care if we label him Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, whatever. Just give me orthodoxy. That's all I'm asking for.
All right. You're like that monk in that movie. You know, the guy. Remember that? What was that? The terrible movie with Tom Hanks based on the book, The Da Vinci Code?
Oh, I never saw it because it was a terrible movie.
Yeah, it was bad. so dumb. Tom Hanks had long hair in that, too. It was just a bizarre movie. Anyway, all right, let's talk about trade for a second here, EJ Antoni, because we got this announcement from the president regarding China. Break it down for us. What does it mean?
Well, we're basically rolling back the clock, which is good from the standpoint of we're getting rid of a lot of the escalation and counter escalation, if you will. In other words, after April 2nd, China retaliated and then we retaliated on them and vice versa. And that just kept going. So it was this steady ratcheting up of the pressure on both countries. And that's part of the reason why, you know, markets have been having such a terrible time. When we look at different surveys throughout the industry, whether it's manufacturing or even the service sector, every industry across the economy, there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty. People don't know how to plan for the future. Capital expenditures have absolutely plummeted. In other words, no one's willing to invest in plant and equipment, even things like software, because they don't know if they're going to be able to use it in the coming months. So markets were really having a tough time. Market participants were having a tough time. And now we've basically paused all of that. So I would love to say we've rolled back the clock to before April 2nd, but we haven't. The lower level, I should say, of tariffs is going to remain in place, both against us and against China. And so at this point, we're going to take 90 days to kind of wait and see if the negotiators on both sides can hammer out a deal and hopefully get us to a place where, again, we have lower tariffs, not higher ones, and more free trade, not less.
All right. When the Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, EJ, talks about non-tariff barriers, one of the things I think is really important is that we're talking about that finally, and we have not been talking about that prior to Liberation Day. Non-tariff barriers. Like, for example, I mean, I didn't realize how hard it was for certain markets to actually compete in China. So give us some insight into that and how restrictive China really is.
Great, great question. China is the number one abuser when it comes to these non-tariff barriers. So trade barriers that aren't simply a tax on stuff coming across their border. In fact, their tariff rates historically have been relatively low, but they, whether it's a labeling restriction, content restrictions, different kinds of regulation, they make it almost impossible for foreign producers to make stuff for the Chinese market. You essentially have to tailor make it just for the Chinese market. So that means if you want to sell products here in the United States and in China, you essentially have to make up a whole new version, almost a whole new product, which is very expensive. And even if you can do that at scale, right? You're selling to a billion people over in China. It still is incredibly difficult because they're subsidizing their own industry, which means they're making stuff at home artificially cheap. That's very difficult to compete against that. They also manipulate their currency, which makes imports from countries like the United States artificially expensive in the Chinese marketplace. They use slave labor. That's another cost savings. They steal everyone's intellectual property. So that IP theft allows them to make stuff again in China at relatively low prices without having to go through all of the R&D expense. And I can go on and on. I mean, there's countless ways in which China abuses the trade system. We never should have given them the status that they have in terms of international trade. Unfortunately, we did, and we've allowed these abuses to go on for decades. So we are where we are. And the question is not necessarily how did we get here, how could we have prevented this, but now how do we get ourselves out?
What is currency manipulation?
Essentially, it means that they are reducing the value of the offshore yuan relative to the dollar. And so think of it this way. If I can buy something in China and the Chinese are willing to accept a dollar for it, but then they artificially reduce the value of their currency, that dollar maybe is now worth 20% more. So now I don't have to give them a dollar anymore. I can give them less than a dollar. Likewise, if we want to flip it around, I'm not buying Chinese stuff, but the Chinese are buying American stuff. It's the exact same thing, just in reverse. Their currency does not go as far here in the United States. So instead of needing 100 of the offshore yuan to buy something, maybe now they need 120 because the value of their currency has been reduced against the value of the dollar.
All right. And then when we think about, say, for example, intellectual property theft, is it just simply that when I go on Amazon and I'm searching for a product, I see a cheaply made, clearly, obviously, a Chinese made product? I mean, they're not hiding it or something like that. Is it just simply that, you know, they just rip off whatever they're paid to build and just sell it?
Sometimes it is that. Sometimes it's someone has set up a factory in China, and then right next door, the factory across the street, whatever the case may be, just simply copies it without paying any kind of royalties, anything like that. So that's a huge problem. But sometimes they'll also just buy American products or products from anywhere around the world, and they essentially reverse engineer them, much the way that the Japanese did in the 60s, 70s, and well into the 80s. Of course, the Japanese were having to pay royalties and different things, but still, the Chinese are effectively abusing things like patent law, all kinds of international law, and the result is that they can make things artificially cheap, and they can undercut innovation throughout the world by doing that. You know, just recently, I was on Amazon, for example, and I was looking for a specific part, and I found a whole slew of parts made in China that were like half the price of the American version, and they're all knockoffs. None of them are the real McCoy, and none of them are being produced under the auspices of the actual American inventor, of the American company.
All right, so this is a 90-day pause, but what happens in 90 days if nothing changes?
We are right back to where we were just a few days ago, and I think the market starts tumbling again. Mm-hmm. Look, the market overreacted, I think, initially, and now they're overreacting yet again. So they overreact to bad news. They overreact to good news. It is what it is. It's the nature of the beast, and this market is very much a beast these days. So essentially, Rich, I think what would happen then is, again, you're going to see the market tumble back down, and unfortunately, in terms of that's just like kind of the high level, but at the very low level, at the local level, businesses are really getting hurt by all this uncertainty.
Yeah.
They can't plan. And it's not just in terms of planning. I know I mentioned capital expenditures earlier. It's even things like planning on how many employees am I going to hire? Because if I think this is going to really hurt my sales, I'm going to hire future employees because my sales are going to go down. Well, if I don't know what my sales are going to do, I don't want to take on the risk of hiring people. It's really not a good situation to be in. It's a shame the way this whole tariff rollout was done. I think it was much too much and much too fast. And I think they were not strategic and targeted enough in the way they handled it. And this chaos that we've seen in markets has been the result.
EJ, I think that if the president had rallied other countries and made China the issue and targeted China, it probably would have led to kind of the same result, but with less chaotic uncertainty there. Obviously, for a lot of American companies, making something overseas, if it's not going to be China, then it would be India. We were hoping we get a trade deal announcement for India. That hasn't happened, probably because of what's going on with India and Pakistan right there. But I agree with you in terms of the certainty of this and the idea that we can get some clarity here, because for a lot of small businesses, they would love to be able to manufacture someplace else, but it takes time to ramp up, obviously. And soon we're going to be in the place where they start thinking about Christmas orders and things like that. So then I guess the last piece of this then is what do you want to see next? If we have this 90-day pause in tariffs with China and markets are happy, we have this kind of period now to negotiate, what would be the next thing you'd like to hear from them?
Well, I think that, believe it or not, Rich, although China is the big problem here, I don't think it's China that we need to make the most progress with right now. It's China's key trading partners. And, you know, this is something I think we've talked about before. We got to start peeling these nations out of China's sphere of influence. We got to strike trade deals with India that you already mentioned, mm-hmm. with Japan, with Australia, Korea, Vietnam. We got to get those key nations, again, out of China's sphere of influence and get China isolated, because it's only when China's isolated, when we're the only destination left for Chinese products, that's when they're going to come to the table. That's when they're going to talk, and that's when they're going to get us a reasonable deal, a deal that they'll actually be willing to follow through on. We forget that all of the great deals that Trump negotiated during his first term with the Chinese Communist Party, they have abided by precisely none of them. Zero. They have cheated on every single one. They haven't come through on their end of the bargain for a single one. And that same goes with anything that they tried working out under the Biden administration. Although, you know, that stuff, they just were flaunting right away. They never even attempted to abide by any of that. So, that's a big one. But the other thing, and it's something that I think you're kind of hinting on there, a lot of these small businesses would love to make stuff here. A lot of even large corporations would love to make stuff here in America, but they can't. They can't. And it has nothing to do with international trade. It's because of our ridiculous tax code. It's because of our massive regulatory state. You know, the regulatory compliance costs in this country for the average manufacturing worker is like $50,000 or $60,000. That means a manufacturer, the employer, is paying the equivalent of $50,000 or $60,000 per employee just in regulatory compliance costs. That's insane. It's no wonder we're shipping jobs overseas. It's not because other nations are barring the door and preventing us from getting into their markets. Sure, that hurts us. Sure, that doesn't help the situation. But the primary reason we've had a hemorrhaging manufacturing sector in this country and why our industrial base is eroding, it's because of what we've done to ourselves with overtaxation and overregulation. And it's not just at the federal level. It's at the state and local levels, too. Yeah. And this is why where is the Rust Belt, Rich? It's blue state America. Mm-hmm. It's Detroit. It's Chicago. It's Pittsburgh. It's Cincinnati. It's all these blue cities and blue states. Where is manufacturing coming back right now? It's already coming back, but in the Carolinas, in Tennessee, in Texas.
Yeah, and you know, I think that a lot of people are willing to you know, have some patience here to get all that, but these regulations and these compliance costs you talk about are ridiculous and insane. To that point, let me play a clip for you, EJ. This is Kevin Hassett, of course, the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors to the President, who talked about some of the regulatory reforms that they're hopeful they can achieve here, maybe as part of the One Big Beautiful Bill, maybe outside of that. But go ahead, take a listen.
Oh, the regulation cuts have been coming really through the executive orders all the way back to the 20th of January. And so,
is this as big as they get?
Oh, no, they're going to accelerate for sure. And the bottom line is that one of the biggest things that I found back when we were in the first term in 2017 was that the president's basically making it really, really difficult to create new regulations had an outsized big positive effect on the economy. You could go back and look, and small business sentiment, for example, by the summer of his first term was the highest it had been since World War II. And this is because it's like a secret for economists. It seems that they hadn't thought of before 2017 that when you have a new regulation, it's really, really hard on business. They got to hire all these engineers and lawyers to figure out what are we going to do with this new regulation. And a huge amount of time under President Obama, especially, who put out a massive, massive amount of new regulations, a huge amount of time was spent trying to figure out what are we going to do with this new regulation. And so by pausing that, already we're having a big, massive positive effect. And that's one reason why I think, as you saw, like core GDP at 3% in the first quarter before all of the dust settled with the uncertainty. And so I think the golden age is clearly coming with the tax cuts and trade policy uncertainty mostly resolved right now.
I mean, EJ, the regulatory costs on businesses, it's mind-blowing. And you look at a state like California, for example, which has regulations on top of regulations on top of the federal regulations, and it's no surprise why, say, the movie industry has left and they've decided, let's go film in other places, you know?
Well, exactly. And that's why, you know, as we start to get more of these slapdash tariffs on all kinds of things like, you know, foreign movies and whatnot. I mean, my goodness, give me a break. Is that really a national security threat?
No,
it's just nonsense. And again, international trade has nothing to do with why we're hemorrhaging our things like our filmmaking industry or advertising, marketing, all of that. It's because of all the regulations and the excessive taxation. And those are things, again, that we've done to ourselves.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with international trade. I'm not saying international trade is all sunshine and rainbows. It's not. There are lots of problems. And we've talked about those, Rich. There are all kinds of ways in which other nations take advantage of the United States and punish American exporters and American workers. But that's not the primary reason for our economic malaise.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you can't use the president's power on tariffs when it comes to movies. You can't argue it's a national security threat. And we have to be consistent on that, whether it's our guy in the White House or not.
Exactly.
Propaganda in movies. I mean, there's propaganda in movies that are made domestically. So, you can't use that as a national security threat. And ultimately, I mean, the president said he doesn't want to hurt the industry. But there's real reasons why they've left, you know, to go film overseas. The other problem, too, that I think is something that everybody's got to be cognizant of going forward is, of course, energy prices. And so, you know, looking to bring those down and then having the United States be energy dominant in this will ultimately lead to prices coming down. I was asked that question earlier today. You know, what are people saying about prices and when they can see prices coming down? You've talked about this with me so many times. I mean, we need certainty. Yes. We also need the energy because that has been driving up and a key reason for inflation, right?
Exactly. And, you know, we're kind of fortunate in that the position we're in right now is very different than we were in like 2011. So in 2011, we had this great new technology where we had new ways to apply hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people poo-pooed it and said, look, it's going to take you years to actually get all the infrastructure in place and get this stuff done before you'll bring a drop of product to market. And prices will actually start to come down. Thank God the industry did go ahead and do that anyway, because it ended up creating very, very low energy prices despite everything the Obama administration did and despite all of their overspending. So that technological boom really helped offset a lot of the inflation that was caused by Obama's overspending. So fast forward to where we are today, the Biden administration's tax increases on the industry and the regulatory increases essentially caused a lot of infrastructure to just get mothballed. It's still there, but it's not being used in production. Now, some of it was getting ready to be brought back online, but then April 2nd hit, and all of a sudden people are wondering, are we going to be in recession in a year? And so if that's the case, it's not worth it to have all this extra energy supply because demand will be down. So unfortunately, even though we could bring that supply on relatively quickly, it hasn't yet happened. That's problematic because, again, we need to get that supply up to get prices down, which will bring prices down throughout the economy. The other big thing to remember, Rich, is the fact that we have a lot of small drillers in this country, unlike other places around the world where they just have like one massive state-run oil and gas industry with one single state-run company. We have countless small producers across this country. We have a lot of small drillers, and they're not cost-efficient at prices like $50 a barrel. They just can't make it. So that means that we have to reduce costs on those folks so that a well that's only profitable at, let's say, $70 a barrel now becomes profitable at $50 a barrel. Because otherwise, if you don't do that for the small producers, then every time one of the large producers increases production, the small producer over here is going to reduce production, and it's just going to be an offset. So that goes back to what we're talking about with getting the tax burden down and getting the regulatory burden down, because that's ultimately how you're going to increase production here. And permitting reform would be a huge step in the right direction.
And I think the Trump administration embraces that, no doubt about it. EJ Antoni, follow him on X at Real EJ Antoni. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, quick.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Break, fourth and final hour coming up straight ahead. Let's talk about what's going on in Newark, the latest on that, and the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com, 856-786-2020. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.